pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. True story. I guess I kind of did, but I didn't realize that Monday was Memorial Day. For some reason in my head, it was next Monday, but then I should have known with all the absences that this was going to be a long weekend. So I realized that this morning, believe it or not. Anyway, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, what you got to do, you got to text me. Let me know what is on your mind. Coming up on the program, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. That's in about a half hour. Also on the show today, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show. We haven't heard from him in a little bit. Democrats, guys, now it's not going to be a big night for them in Alabama necessarily, but it's going to be a good night. Better than they're used to. And I'll explain why here in just a little bit. Something my buddy Josh Moon pointed out. The numbers are changing. And then in the 11 o'clock hour from the Alabama poll, Michael Lowry, we had a cancellation. Our returning champion is out in the water today. So, he's enjoying the weekend. 251-343-0106, as I said, that's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. But back to what I was mentioning here just a moment ago, and what we're finding to be the case in particularly in Madison County. A lot of Democrat voters. So Madison County, 63,000 ballots in 2022. And 51,000 of those 63,000 were Republican. On Tuesday this week, 67,000 ballots cast. 41,000 ballots were Democrat. Think about that. That's a significant shift. Now, a couple of things there. In 2022, there really wasn't much to vote for. So, but that should have had the opposite impact. There was a lot to vote for last Tuesday. I don't know what this means. This could be sustained until November. I don't think it means any Democrat candidate's going to win statewide. I do think there's a couple of legislative seats that are in trouble, though, for Republicans. I think the Maryland seat used to be Mike Ball's seat. Probably going to stay with Maryland Lands. City of Madison has gone blue. It could go back to red someday, but it may not be. And then you got to look, Tom Butler retiring. There's a state senate seat up for grabs. So, Democrats in some places in this state, now they're going to do well in their typical places in Mobile and Birmingham and in Montgomery. But there's a lot of hard seats. There's a Will Barfoot seat and state senate seat in Montgomery that's going to be tough against Tabitha Eisner, who's the vice chairman of the Democratic Party. And Democrats are smart, but they're not typically in this state. strategically, they could pick up some seats. I don't think they could, you know, maybe they could eat away at the supermajority. But they got some momentum. And some of that momentum is coming off of the Supreme Court decision and what the legislature's done. The legislature's got to do what it's got to do. So I don't think any high-profile seats are going to go down. I think, you know, governor, Senate, Doug Jones is not going to be governor. But governor, Senate, attorney general, lieutenant governor are all going to stay Republican. Don't worry about that. But it'll give Democrats a little momentum, a little boost. They'll perform better than they have in years. If you base it on these primary results. The wisdom here is the Democrats right now are nuclear hot because of the Louisiana decision and the redistricting, not just in Alabama, but across the country. So we'll hear from Parker about that coming up in the program and see if he's even picked up on it. Some other things. So you probably heard about the anti-weaponization fund that the Trump administration has settled, or the DOJ. I don't think your government should get by with spying on people illegally. But also don't like the look of this. Now, granted, these senators who are going public and even coach to some degree, I mean, they had voted themselves in the last reconciliation package, their own settlement, that if they were, that they had been spied on, they were entitled to something. Now, that's, I think, since been rescinded. But I'm kind of wondering, that's just an excuse. There's a lot of the way my friend Bradley Jay explained it. A lot of U.S. senators are upset with Trump because he endorsed Ken Paxton over John Cornyn. And that he endorsed, well, he went so hard after Cassidy in Louisiana that he's getting involved in these politics. And they never took him, you know, and Bradley and I were talking about this yesterday or day before yesterday on the show. These people who he's opposed really worked against him maliciously, knowing that there was no Russia collusion. They pumped the brakes on his agenda in 2017. And now I think they're just looking for excuses here not to play ball with the Trump agenda anymore. Which is not smart for a lot of these guys, given Trump's on a winning streak. And his endorsed candidates are going to get in the United States Senate. And they will owe him a debt of gratitude. How that plays out in the Senate, I don't know. But you can't vote to impeach somebody. And the Cassidy's problem is he voted to convict. Cornyn just never was down with it. And Cornyn has a lot of struggle, but he's going to go down with a devastating outcome, it looks like, if based on the polling right now. It's Trump's Republican Party. And there is an effort to go after Trump candidates, endorse candidates. Not sure what that means for Barry Moore. John Thune's already come out and endorsed Barry Moore. But you got to wonder if some of these guys are kind of looking at Jared Hudson as a possibility here to get back at Trump. But the Senate publicly will they'll say, oh, yeah, yay Trump, yay Trump, yay Trump. But they don't like it when the president, they never have, comes in and meddles in the world's most exclusive club, at least for, you know, even Democrats, when a Democrat president does that. So Republicans got some problems here, I think, going into November, not just the natural, you know, it's a midterm and you're the party in power. But there's internal friction that we may not realize right now. And that's something to watch real close, guys, in Alabama. As we go to vote in the Republican primary. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Let me know what is on your mind. We haven't checked. Let's check the board here. Who has qualified for AL1 and AL2? I'm hitting refresh on the page here, so it'll pull up in just a moment. We have in AL1, Jerry Carl, John Mills added to the roster, Austin Sidwell. In AL2, Hampton Harris, Rhett Marquez, Joshua McKee. I hear there could be another candidate soon. And in AL6... we have Gary Palmer, but I hear Case Dixon, who was running in that seat as well, is either qualified or, and they haven't posted it, or is about to. No Republicans so far in AL7. And qualifying closes today at 5 p.m. Will our returning champion get in this race? It doesn't appear so, but I have not talked to him. I got a text that he was going to be out on a boat today. So we'll see. Deadline, like I said, at 5 o'clock today, we'll have a final list of candidates for 1, 2, 6, and 7. But August 11th, special election for Congress, assuming the courts clear it. They got I can't imagine. The courts say no, the lower court, it has to go to the Supreme Court. I mean, I do you count the results from Tuesday night? If that's the case, I mean, is Jerry Carl and Brett Marquez, are they going to be on the ballot for the runoff as a formality? We'll see. But I can't imagine that scenario playing out. Anyway, 251-343-0106. We got some interest. We'll go down ballot. We'll start talking about some of these other races, where they kind of are. They're starting to get a little nasty, particularly Lieutenant Governor. I'll give you an update on that on the other side. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Boer Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Boer Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. Friday is finally Friday. 251-343-0106. Mike writes, I think it's a combination of the Louisiana decision and the Republicans on the federal level not living up to the America First agenda promise, but will be the difference in the midterms. It'll boost Democrat turnout and suppress at least 10% of Republican voters to 24. The boomer slogans of supporting our greatest ally will win most Republican primaries. But you're going to lose 10 to 50% of the electorate that believe America should look after America's interest. Well, yeah, because with a presidential election, I mean, you've got to get everything to come together. And Trump, the Trump guys did that. I mean, you got to give it to Trump for going, you went to the Libertarian Party convention, made some promises, lived up to them too. Like, he's lost them. And some of that was, as you point out, Mike, I think Iran war, this isn't a discussion about the merits of whether doing what he did with Iran was right or wrong. But if you look at let's just take all your Trump voters from 2024 and you poll them and you present the same scenario. Okay, we got to move, we got to strike, whatever the circumstances are. And you present them. Then you're going to lose at least a percentage of people who are going to disagree, right? You've already peeled away a part of the coalition. The Tucker Carlson wing. And then this, it becomes death by a thousand cuts. People who voted for Trump, not really happy with the economy under Biden. And essentially, Kamala Harris was an extension of Biden. And they're not particularly ideological or partisan. They just will acknowledge that the economy didn't go the way it was supposed to under Biden. Well, guess what? It may be improving, and there are signs it is. But it's not satisfactory. And I don't think Democrats really had much to get excited about in 2024. Kamala Harris was a bad, bad candidate. Their lone organizing, unifying principle was Trump. And they could run all of the January 6th highlights and it didn't work. They can manufacture phony controversies like speaking at Madison Square Garden was some kind of like nod to Nazism. It was just not what it took to win that cycle. But now they have something, gas prices and weaponization fund, which I don't believe is a real thing. A real controversy. And they're going to have a good night. I don't think, I'm still not convinced it's going to be a wave election. I think there's enough impediments there to keep it from being, in particular with redistricting. That's going to hurt Democrats. It's going to help them in California, but they're not going to get the Virginia map they wanted or the New York map they wanted. But they're still going to have a good night. And I'll just tell you, try to call balls and strikes here. Not for the sake of being a doom and gloomer, but something you ought to brace for. That's the reality, and that's what Republicans are going to have to deal with in 2 years of at least one chamber of Congress being Democrat. It's going to be a bumpy ride. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
To stay away from the train line, she said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Horst Show. And then in the 11 o'clock hour from the Alabama poll, my friend Michael Lowry will walk through the numbers again, what he thought was a surprise and what he didn't think was what he expected. So you want to stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Friday, but Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, Alabama Public Television. Todd, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, thanks for coming on. Do appreciate it. Well, we survived another election cycle. not entirely surprising, some of the results. I mean, you always have like one or two legislative seats that are a surprise, but that's just kind of part of doing business. But anything stand out to you?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I guess the Matt Simpson race stood out to me as a surprise. And I guess that's because I'm not down there and didn't see all the ads and all everything that was going on. But I think that surprised a lot of people north of there that such a experienced guy and such a important guy here in the legislature would go down in a primary defeat. So that was a shocker. But yeah, other than that, I think it was, pretty well in Auburn too.
The Auburn one was the one. Yeah. I did not see coming.
Yeah. I didn't see that either. And, I guess it has to do with gambling. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I'll say this. When they redistricted, they reapportioned, Auburn kept going further south. And the further south.
Into Baldwin County.
Yeah, and for the first time into Mobile County. And, because his district used to be, you draw a line from the Mississippi line to the Florida Panhandle. That was his district, north of Mobile. And just the way things were and the way they were having to move lines around, he kept having to get more of Baldwin County. And he wanted to be in the Mobile delegation. And that's sort of what, and I think Alpha had something to do with it too. Now, on your point about Simpson, his opponent made it close last cycle, but I thought he wasn't going to take it like he did last go around, and he was actually out at events. You'd see him at places. You saw lots of signs. Like they really put the work in because they knew that if he slept on it, that he would have some problems. But I thought, well, maybe this time he'll eke it out again. But that wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. So those are two that definitely surprised me. I mean, two chairmen, right? I mean, Matt Simpson chairs the campaign and ethics committee. Albritton is a budget chairman. You don't see those kind of people losing all the time. So yeah, that shocked me. But other than that, not really. I mean, I knew that some legislative races were going to be close, like up in Birmingham. I knew that Dan Roberts was in trouble. Scott Ortiz took him out. Lloyd Peoples took out Jim Carnes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't all that surprised, especially after being in Birmingham election night, seeing all the signs and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, a pretty consequential election night, but statewide, no, I wasn't really surprised. I mean, with the results, we knew that in the AG race, Robertson and Mitchell were going to go to a runoff. They are. It kind of lined up with everything we expected. Same thing with John Wall and Wes Allen. I guess in the lieutenant governor's race, most of the polls had Wes Allen leading. And so the fact that John Wall was actually leading just by a little bit, but that was a little different from the polls. So it's going to be really interesting to watch those two races go to a very consequential runoff.
Yeah,
I think nothing of the U.S. Senate.
Wall and Barry Moore kind of outperformed the polls slightly, and maybe that it's just that type of voter, and they don't respond to these surveys. My kind of takeaway there, but I don't know what that means for the runoff here next month.
Well, we've talked about how Barry Moore does you know, he outperforms the polls. And I think that's true. We've talked about that. But it also could be said that undecideds broke their way, you know, and that's important. Like that's what you really want from a, you know, from a campaign management perspective is like, if the undecideds are coming your way, that's a really good sign, especially heading into a runoff. So I think they have things to be happy about.
Well, let me pose this hypothetical, because you look at the Senate totals and you see where Hudson was trying, just dominated Jefferson County and the Birmingham DMA. In a low turnout event, when you have your base of support is like that and geographically centralized right there, I think that, I mean, that's something that could work in your advantage. Whereas you look at Barry Moore, he's certainly got the more widespread, you know, from top to bottom statewide thing going. But I, you know, it all comes down, as it usually does, to Birmingham.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, Hudson, Jefferson's the most populous county, has the most Republican votes, period. Hudson won it by 19 points, almost 20 points. That's huge. I mean, it was enough to where it thrust him into the runoff when Marshall had been in there solidly all night long. So that's big. Clearly, he has a giant base of support up there. But also consider this. So the next three most populous counties, Baldwin, Madison, Mobile. Barry Moore won those. Barry Moore won Baldwin County by 33 points. I mean, that is insane. He won it 51% to Jared Hudson's 18 and Steve Marshall's 17. Now, who knows if Baldwin County is going to come out again in the runoff, but if they do, I mean, winning a county by the second most populous county by 33 points, that's insane. He won Madison County by 8 points. He won Mobile County, the fourth most populous, by 29 points. So, again, you're right that we don't know who's going to be, you know, motivated to come out during a runoff. But Hudson having Jefferson is big, but Barry Moore has Baldwin and Mobile by 33 and 29 points. That's crazy. So if I was Barry Moore, obviously he's winning the Wiregrass by big numbers too, and I think we can count on them to be motivated, but they're just less populous. But if I was Barry Moore, man, I would be trying my hardest to get Baldwin and Mobile out because he had huge margins down there.
I'll tell you something else, and I didn't realize this until my friend Josh Moon pointed it out. Look at the Democrat turnout, particularly in Madison County. Madison County outvote Democrats. Nothing really on the ballot to get super excited about, I don't think. But Madison County having way more Democrat voters than Republican voters. I think there's a couple of legislative seats that need to be on watch here.
Yeah, I mean, Republicans wanted to retake that seat that Marilyn Lands has, and I think she'll probably be pretty safe. It's voting trends. It's, you know, that's obviously a huge area of growth, you know, just like other states. I mean, folks moving in here from other places. Think about the FBI, folks moving from Virginia and things like that. I wouldn't call them Democrats. I'd just say they're probably independent voters, but, you know, Republicans are losing independents right now. With the economy, with, you know, disagreements with the Trump administration, you know, that's the way the trends are going right now. It's going to be an ugly midterm unless things really turn around for Republicans. So yeah, I'm not surprised to see folks in that part of the state pulling that Democratic ballot instead of the Republican ballot.
Because I think that Butler seat's up for grabs. A state Senate seat. Now, Gavan's probably okay, and you know, everything else will go as expected. But, you know, I guess it's John Roberts is his name. I don't know him, but he's going to have a dogfight.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, Democrats have better organization up there than they do in other parts of the state. Yeah, they've done a better job this year, Democrats, on filling the ballot. You take it back to the last election, the last similar election, 2022. And man, it was dismal. I mean, they ran Yolanda Flowers for governor statewide. I mean, come on. They just did not have serious people on the ballot. This time is different. I mean, you've got Doug Jones, you've got Philip Insler, you've got, you know, up and down the ballot, you know, pretty serious people. Now, look, Alabama is still a Republican state. I don't think there's any, you know, real danger of a statewide race, you know, for Republicans. But you've got a Democratic Party that's done a better job this year in this cycle of putting serious people on the ballot. And look, you're right. And up north in Huntsville, there are actually opportunities for them to score some wins.
Well, and I think Doug Jones provides, as you point out, coattails. I mean, even though he's probably gonna get, I think at best he could hope for his low 40s, but he's gonna give people a reason to come out, and that will impact some of these down ballot elections more locally.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you want to fill the ballot for two reasons. Number one, you never know what's gonna happen. Right. You got to have somebody on the ballot in case, you know, something crazy happens. But number two, you want to motivate, like you said, down ballot races. I think Democrats are going to be excited about Doug Jones. They are going to be excited to get out this cycle. I mean, they raised their voting percentage on Tuesday, like, by quite a bit compared to the last election. So yeah, I think they're motivated. I think some of this redistricting stuff has them motivated. And so, yeah, it's going to be something to contend with. And Republicans are going to, you know, nobody was really excited about going out to vote this time around. And not nobody. I'm just saying it was a bit of a sleepy affair for Republicans overall. They're going to need to, you know, find the juice for November.
Well, the other one is in your area there with Eisner and Barfoot. That's another one. I mean, that's just the case of shifting lines, but it's a closer drawn district than the previous district Barfoot ran in, and I don't know how that's going to play out either.
Right, it is going to be close, and Tabitha Eisner is a strong candidate. She knows what she's doing. She's been pointing to this race for a couple of years now. And, I definitely think she's going to make a race of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Republicans got to be on balls of their feet here. This isn't your typical, you know, what we've seen probably since, what, the 2006 cycle, where there were a lot of competitive races. And in 2010, obviously, competitive, but you knew what the trend was. The trend is kind of, it's no longer going Republicans' way. It's going Democrats' way, it seems.
Well, I think that's going to be a national trend. We don't know what's going to happen with Iran. We don't know what's going to happen with gas prices and things like that. But right now, it's not great news for Republicans. I mean, there's no question that if the election was held right now, I think Republicans would lose the House of Representatives. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, they've got some time to figure it out, but things aren't going great for Republicans. And that's historically, you know, a trend that typically, you know, the party in power tends to lose seats in the House. But this is different a little bit because there have been several instances of the Trump administration just kind of fumbling the ball in this second term. I think Democrats have a lot of motivation. They're going to be coming out, and Republicans better be prepared for that. It's good that you pointed that out, Jeff, because I think there's a tendency for in a state like Alabama to think, well, we're going to be fine, but
right.
You never know.
Cause it's a different time. And I think part of it, and we'll wrap it up on this. I mean, you know, we look at Dobbs 4 years ago in 22 as sort of what kind of kept, you know, it being as bad of a night as possible for Democrats, that they were able to do some damage control. I think the same way this Louisiana decision and the subsequent reaction by Republican legislatures has got Democrats motivated out the vote.
That's a great analogy, a great comparison. And part of it is, in both instances, I mean, Republicans got the win, right? Conservatives got the Supreme Court win. But what did they do with it? Did they explain it? Did they figure out a way to make it work electorally? No, not really. They took the win. Look, I think going and redistricting and adding seats, it's a short-term win for Republicans. Hey, let's do this. Let's make sure we got it. Long-term, maybe not so good. I mean, it will anger. It has angered those on the left, even though they've done it too. I was having a conversation last night with somebody on the left about this. Like, come on, Democrats are doing this too, you know. And if they had gotten away with Virginia, you know, who knows? But I think it has motivated Democrats to organize and to get voters out. And it's not just going to be a thing for purple states. It's going to be a thing here in Alabama too.
Todd, folks want to find your newsletter, sign up for it, check out your website, and they want to know us on Capital Journal. Let them know.
Absolutely. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up for the newsletter right there on the homepage. And yes, Capital Journal is tonight. We're going to be talking about all of this stuff, all of this election stuff, and you know, what happened, why it matters, and what's next. So that's Capital Journal on APT tonight at 7:30.
Todd Stacey, ladies and gentlemen. Todd, thanks again.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. High achievers, I've come to know. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of one step in back of themselves. And their slow-moving dreams. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Get out of town Friday for some of you. Glad you're listening. 251-343-0106. Parker Griffith coming up in the next hour. We haven't heard from him in a little while, like I said, like Todd and I were talking, now that I've had a chance to kind of go through some of this, Democrats outperformed expectations. It was something you kind of noticed on Tuesday night. Like, wow, turnout. They really, the Democrat turnout, higher than usual, probably saved turnout. That it wasn't Republicans excited to vote for John Wall or Tommy Tuberville or Jared Hudson or whatever, that it was indeed Democrat turnout. Trying to make a statement here. The shifting demographics of Madison County, I think, are part of that. But they did exactly what a lot of you talked about on this show when you texted in. They brought their politics with them. Look, you work in government. You're not some kind of anti-government libertarian. You're not a small government conservative. You believe in government. Your life revolves around government. You make your money off of government. So, Toothless Bammer, Jeff, I don't think retail prices are going down to pre-Biden economy even after gas prices fall. But why would voters choose a Democrat to vote for? Everyone saw how the Biden administration was clueless and even lied to everyone about Bidenomics. Maybe these people just stay home. I don't think that they will, though. I think you have a number of people, Toothless Spammer, who they see it as like a civic duty. It's important. They may not participate in the primaries, but they're going to vote. They want to be role models for their children. They want their children to vote. And it's just very knee-jerk, very reactionary. there's like, I guess, a virtue in not having loyalty or fidelity to an ideology or a party. Supposedly that makes you really smart. And they'll go vote because of gas prices. And it's just, that's just American behavior. And their vote counts just as much as ours. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.